Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Before we begin today, I want to mention how very thankful I am to those of you who have been so very kind in giving to Michelle and Roy Delgado in their very needy situation. You know, I mentioned on the air that Michelle Delgado has worked for us now in the ministry 7 or 8 years, first for Living Truth Ministries, our predecessor organization, and now for Power of Prophecy. And many of you have probably talked to Michelle on the phone when you call to ask a question or to place an order. Michelle Delgado is really our business administrator now. She came on and at first and just did just administrative things and answered the phone, and she worked so hard and everything. We finally made her the office administrator, and she's really Wanda's right-hand person, just a very kind and wonderful spirit, Christian lady. And her husband is a very hard worker, Roy Delgado. He's a house painter. And I tell you, he works very hard, has always had a job, and was promoted to supervisor of other painters by his company. And unfortunately, Roy came down with diabetes. And I guess it's a very bad form of diabetes because he was unable to work suddenly after all of his life. And Roy must be approaching, 45 maybe years of age. And suddenly, for the first time in his life, he couldn't work. They had to actually give him an operation. He had gangrene set into his leg and feet. He couldn't walk, and they had to take off part of his foot even, cut off a small portion of one of his feet. And then the doctor told him that he would soon go blind from diabetes unless he had an operation. Now, unfortunately, neither Roy nor Michelle had medical insurance. And so Roy has been off work now about 10 months, and it's really tough on him. And so we ask in our newsletter and over the radio for your help. And so many of you have helped. If you want to help Roy and Michelle Delgado through this very difficult period, I encourage you to do so, and you can send your love gifts, and please send them. If you do make out a check or a money order or whatever, or cash, whatever you send, please make your envelope. Just make it to Michelle and Roy Delgado. That's D-E-L-G-A-D-O. Michelle. Don't matter if it's misspelled. I'm sure it'll get to her no matter what. Michelle and Roy Delgado, or just Michelle Delgado. She's here every day in the ministry. And send that to care of Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And we'll just, if you'll make that out direct to them, it will go direct to them. It won't even go through the ministry here. Now, I have asked Michelle to let me know who is giving, because I want to send you a personal letter, too, and thank you. But she'll probably be sending you a letter herself because she's so very grateful. And she didn't know that I was going to do this here in the ministry. And Wanda said, Michelle, we want to help you. And I know the people out there, they love you. And they know you're a servant of God here full time in the ministry. And, you know, tears came to Michelle's eyes. And that people would be so good to her in her time of need, hers and Roy's. And so, again, if you'd like to help in this project, to help Roy pay this medical operation so that he will not go blind, that's the purpose of it. So, again, make out any check or money order. Don't send it to don't make it out to Power of Prophecy, because then we have to put it in our account and then write another check to them, and it just becomes tough administratively. But just make out your check direct to Michelle Delgado or to Roy Delgado or to Michelle and Roy Delgado. And again, our address here, send it care of, and we'll make sure it gets to them, 1708 Patterson Road, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And again, I'll know that you gave, and I'll be thanking you with a letter myself. But most of all, my friends, God will know. God will know. Now, we have a topic today that I don't do this very often, but I want to ask you for a favor. If you have children that are listening to the radio, I would prefer that they not listen. If they're a teenager that you know they're good kids and God is watching over their life and they're not into bad things, then okay, if you think they're educated enough and mature enough. But the little kids, I'm not so sure it's a good idea for them to listen to this program today. Now, let me just give you the title of the program today, and we're going to have a lot of documentation and facts. But I'm very, very concerned about this because this is something that has invaded the church, a demonic thing that has invaded the church and has been doing so for many decades. It's invaded both Protestant and Catholic churches. But today we're going to look at the Catholic Church. The title of our investigative report, and that's what it is, my friends, an investigative report, for today is The Catholic Empire of the Queers. The Catholic Empire of the Queers. An expose. Yes, an expose of pedophile, homosexual priests, and lesbian nuns. Let me give you that title again so you'll understand what we're going to unmask today. Unbelievable things. The Catholic Empire of the Queers, an expose of pedophile, homosexual priest, and lesbian nuns. We're going to prove, we're going to document and prove that the Catholic Church has become the habitation of legions of wicked homosexuals and pedophiles who now comprise the majority of priests and nuns, the majority. You'll discover how predator priests have turned the altars and pews of Catholic churches into sodomite beds. You'll discover how many lesbian nuns have regrettably come out of the closet, arrogantly proclaiming their perverted gay lifestyle is even of God, they claim. Now, the Vatican has been forced to pay out millions of dollars in court settlements to victims, mostly young boys, molested by Catholic priests. But still, the atrocities multiply. Recently, you will see that a Loyola University scholar and priest published a book admitting that the priesthood has been, quote-unquote, homosexualized. Imagine, the entire Catholic priesthood worldwide, tens of thousands of priests, has been homosexualized, says this expert. And another Catholic authority, Pulitzer Prize-winning writer Gary Wills, he's a national columnist for many newspapers, says that priests live in, quote, a shadowy underworld of secrecy, evasion, and misrepresentation. Well, today we're going to get closer to the heart of the matter than even these authors did. Because, my friends, this is nothing less than what I believe is the prophesied emergence of a sacrilegious new religious order. I call it the Catholic Empire of the Queers. Now, let's get two things straight right at the very beginning. First of all, the word queer. This word was in use for many, many decades in America. And let's imagine what it means. It means they're different. They're strange. They're odd. When we compare these homosexuals, these especially the lesbians, the pedophiles, they are different than us. And in an evil, unscriptural, ungodly and sinful way. So I want to make that very plain for the reason that I use queer. It's not a matter of derogatory things. It is descriptive. Now, you may say, why don't you just call them gay? Because I believe the Webster's definition of gay was, until quite recently, to mean happy, pleasant, jovial. But evidently, the gay so-called crowd, the homosexuals, grabbed onto it. They don't mind being called gay because they want you to believe that they're happy and content with the way they are. They even claim that God made them that way and wants them to continue in this sinful, abhorrent lifestyle. But today we're going to call it what it is, queer. Now, surveys have shown that some 2% of the American public admits to being queer or homosexual. Now, the gays, queers, would have you believe the number is some 10%, but that's five times too many. It's only about 2%. I noticed that home box office, HBO, cable television channel, recently began a series promoting homosexuality. Sort of a, I don't know if it's a situation comedy or a dramatic series, because I have never watched it. I don't intend to. But it's aptly named. It's called Queer as Folk. Queer as Folk. In other words, queers is just normal people. Well, they're not normal people. They are abnormal people. And we're going to unfortunately, we don't have the time to go into the Bible, because I have, in fact, spent two entire hours talking about what the Bible says and exposing the facets of homosexuality, proving this is an abnormal type of behavior, conduct, and lifestyle, and it is totally ungodly. In fact, the Bible says that those who engage in this kind of sex with the same sexual gender, the Bible says that they have been turned over by God to a reprobate mind. It says the effeminate, that means the homosexuals, the queers, will not enter the kingdom of heaven unless they repent. So we have a situation here where God warns, you're going to hell for this behavior. God says this is wrong, this is sinful. So I want you to understand what the Bible has to say. After all, that's why Sodom and Gomorrah were burnt to the ground. And all the people, except Lot, perished because of the disgust that God had toward this kind of behavior. It is unnatural, the Bible tells us. And that means that God could not possibly have made them that way, or it would be natural. So it is unnatural. Now, in the book of Timothy, Paul gives us a prophetic warning of that church in the last days which will forbid to marry. Yes, he says that. There will be a church that forbids to marry. Does not the Catholic Church forbid to marry? Absolutely, its priest may not marry. Now, again, we can look back in history and we will see that the Catholic Church has long been a bastion of homosexuality and pedophile conduct. We read about the Knights Templar, who were the early precursors to today's Masonic lodges, and their Grand Master, Jacques de Molay. You can read about him in history books. Look up in your encyclopedias the name de Molay, Jacques de Molay of France. You will see his story. you will find, and by the way, we're talking about almost 600 years ago in the Catholic Church, that de Molay and his Knights Templars were, in fact, homosexuals. And they had homosexual rituals, even bestiality, it is reported, in their secret lodges. And they worshipped a god who was basically Lucifer, but in the form of an androgynous, that means a combination of male and female, sort of a hermaphrodite, a creature that they called Baphomet. They called themselves warriors and monks. And their symbol was two men riding together on one horse. Two men riding bareback together on one horse. Of course, that implied that the two were together as one, that they were, in fact, queers or homosexuals. And it is from the Knights Templar that the Illuminati came out of. So we have the Illuminati, we have the Masonic Lodge, all out of the homosexualized Knights Templar. Is there any wonder that I call this the Catholic Empire of the Queers? Now, for many years, when Catholic priests had got too hot for the Catholic Church, they would simply move the priest around. If it was reported in one parish that a priest was molesting little boys and it got too hot there for them, they would simply take the priest and move him to another parish, in another diocese, in another state, even in another country. And there he would begin to molest the boys in that area. And thus, the cycle goes on. Now, we can get into the fact that the marriage causes many of these problems. There's no doubt that the Catholic Church even has these monks that they put in seclusion with each other, males only. And they get into everything from bestiality to homosexual sex together. And then, of course, because they believe in flagellation and harming their own body, thinking that they're somehow, by their body's torments, that they're purifying themselves, they began to beat each other and get into sexual masochism and sadism in these monasteries and these sequestered convents. The nuns beating and sexually abusing other nuns, and monks doing this to other monks. In the case of the nuns and some of the monks, they would even pass rules that silence had to be honored. In other words, the cloistered nuns and the monks and the priest and the brothers could not talk to anyone in the outside world. All the better then that they could not complain or tell other people of their plight, of their being raped and abused and seduced into homosexual liaisons. I cannot tell you how many Catholic men today have come to me and told me, by the way, that when they went to Catholic schools as a young student, they were treated horribly and really tormented unmercifully by Catholic sisters, Catholic nuns. Some Catholic nuns, of course, are nice and kind and humanitarian, but many others love to hurt the little boys because they were hardcore lesbian butch types. And they had their habits on, their black and white habits, of course. But they were in a position of authority, and they were able to punish and mete out corporal punishment, especially to little boys. I can't tell you how many little girls have told me that the Catholic nuns would make them pull up their little dresses and pull down their panties, and then they would make them bend over, and the Catholic nuns would whack them on their back end. I believe this was a sexual violence of horror by the nuns in those schools. And they got away with it because the parents of these children believed that discipline by the nuns was good for their children. Well, we're going to be talking about that. We're even going to be talking about the horrors that evidently went on and what we have been told is the most sacrosanct and wonderful of institution. I'm talking about Boys Town, Nebraska, the orphanage in Nebraska. The pedophiles that harvested, evidently, little boys there. You say, what proof do you have of that text? I mean, after all, we've seen the movies with Spencer Tracy of Boys Town and the wonderful things that went on there. Remember the movie with Mickey Rooney and Spencer Tracy and how they took in little juvenile delinquent boys and made them into hardy, good, caring Christian young men? Maybe it wasn't that away after all. Maybe that was pure propaganda. You will see. Then there was, of course, Father Ritter at Grace House in New York, who said, we have a Catholic ministry to go out to the streets of New York and help the homeless, especially the young men that are caught up on the streets. And then it turned out that he was inviting the young men who had nowhere to go into his own apartment and sexually molesting them. Over and over, we see this pattern. And of course, if you require of me, I could go back into the history of the popes, and you will see pedophiles, homosexuals. Now, I want to give you as much documentation as I can, and of course, we only have the remainder of this hour. I could go on for 4 or 5 hours with all the documentation I have. I encourage the Catholic Church to sue me if what I have said is incorrect in any way or untrue. They can sue me, but they will not, because what I tell you today is absolutely true. I want to make the second thing clear to you today. I'm not picking on the Catholic Church. I just finished a series, as you know, of 3 audio tape programs called Gone Berserk. And it was an expose of Protestant churches and leaders. 3 hours called Gone Berserk. And for your love gift of $15 to Power of Prophecy Ministries, I'll send you that a volume. We're putting it in a nice little plastic case. And you will see one after another, I expose the biggest names in the charismatic world. And we don't call it Protestant anymore. They're not protesting anything. Let's just call it the non-direct Catholic world. You know, the Billy Grahams and Bishop T.D. Jakes and Chuck Colson's and Tony Campolo's and all of those other apostates. Gone berserk. They've gone insane. Now, later on in a later program, I'm going to document the homosexual corruption within non-Catholic churches. You're going to see that it's just as big among Presbyterians and Methodists and Lutherans and, yes, Baptists. This is a phenomenon of the end times. Today, we're exposing the Catholics, and well, we should. When I give you the documentation that I have, you will be horrified. But don't think for a minute that homosexuality, queer behavior, is only rampant in the Catholic churches. Oh, no. On every street corner in many cities today, there are churches, big, wonderful edifices of brick and stone and stucco. And inside is a lurking pedophile. In every city of America today, pedophiles and homosexuals are there. Depraved men and women today wanting to harvest our little boys and some little girls. Gary Wills is in hundreds of newspapers across the nation. He's a political commentator. He's written a new book. Believe it or not, he's a Catholic. But his new book is entitled Papal Sin, Structures of Deceit. He accuses the Pope of deliberate falsehood. He says that priests live in a shadowy world of evasion and misrepresentation. Deliberate falsehood. evasion, misrepresentation. He says the entire Roman Catholic system is built on a structure of deceit. He should know. Wills is now 66 years of age. He's a Northwestern University professor. He was a Jesuit seminarian, training to be a Jesuit priest at one time. He strongly identifies with the church, the Catholic Church. He attends Mass each week, he says, still today. He says the real legacy of Pope John Paul is a gay priesthood. They talk about the legacy of a pope or a president of the United States. We know what the legacy of Bill Clinton is. Is the legacy of this pope a gay priesthood? That's what Gary Wills says. Well, an amazing thing that he says here. And then I read an article by Gary Wills. It was in my American Statesman newspaper, February 7th, 2000, page A9, but it was in newspapers across the nation because Mr. Wills is in the Universal Press Syndicate. It was entitled The Catholic Church's Secret. He says the Catholic Church teaches formally that gay conduct is immoral, but it doesn't act like it. And evidently, not only that, but he says that notes that the Kansas City, Missouri Star newspaper has done studies on this, and he finds that there are a high number of Catholic priests who are homosexuals, and there's even a high rate of death from AIDS virus among Catholic priests. This doesn't fit quite well with the Vatican's policy on celibacy as a requisite of the priesthood, says Mr. Wills. It doesn't sit well with the fact that formally in their catechism, it says that homosexuality is a sin. But there it is. There are incredible numbers of priests now dying of AIDS. In fact, the AIDS problem and deaths among Catholic priests is 4 times the rate of the general population. Did you hear what I just said? If you're a Catholic priest, you're 4 times as likely to die of AIDS. Now, Harvard psychiatrist Robert Coles and author Richard Sipe have said that now the figure is sitting at 750 priests who have died from AIDS. But over in Rome, Joseph Barone, who ministers to gay priests, did a survey himself and found that in North America, the number of priests who are AIDS positive, now this is in North America alone, is 11 times the general population's percentage. 11 times as likely to have AIDS. Now, the horror of this is these priests are having sex with other priests and giving them AIDS. And the horror is that some priests, it has been discovered that they have seduced or raped dozens and dozens of little boys over the years. Did they give AIDS to these little boys? Well, then there's the Reverend Donald Cousins, who's written a book called The Changing Face of the Priesthood. We're going to tell you a little bit about his findings, that the Catholic Church has become homosexualized when we return. I'm going to give you proof after proof. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'll be right back after this message. Again, this is Tex Mars of Power of Prophecy. Wonder if you're receiving our newsletter. You know, for your love gift of just $15 to this ministry. We'll be delighted to send it to you, or if you purchase any book, tape, or video from the ministry. Now, if you would like, you can go to the internet and look at our webpage, and we have most of our books, tapes, and videos shown there and described. Our webpage is at powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com, or texmars.com, simple as that. That's TEXEMARRS, texmars.com, or powerofprophecy.com. Now, if you send us your love gift for that amount, we'll be glad to send you a hard copy subscription of our newsletter. In fact, we'll be glad to send you a sample free. You don't have to send us a dime. Just phone us, toll free. See, you don't even have to pay for the phone call. 1-800-234-9673. By the way, you can get the audio tape of this program or any program we have. For today's program, just ask for Catholic Empire, or Catholic Empire of the Queers, if you're not embarrassed to say the word queers. Catholic Empire, or Catholic Empire of the Queers, for your love gift of $7 to the ministry. We'll be glad to send you that 60-minute audio tape of today's program. We also can give you a list, if you ask for it when you order, of other programs that we've done. We'd be glad to send you a catalog of those, because every week we try to have an interesting and informative and very powerful topic for you. Again, our address, if you want to write to us, is 1708 Patterson Road. That's Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. I want to mention our video, too. Unbelievable video, 60 minutes in length, entitled, Is the Pope Catholic? You'll see actual footage of the Pope as he knelt at the grave site where the ashes were kept of the Hindu guru Mahatma Gandhi. You'll see the Pope as he's given ashes on his forehead by a Hindu priestess in a ceremony. You'll see him actually bow and sit down before a Buddhist monk in Bangkok, Thailand. You'll see him as he speaks to a Jewish synagogue and tells the people there that they're already our elder brothers. They do not have to give up Judaism and believe in Jesus to go to heaven. I ask this question, is the Pope really a Catholic? Since he doesn't believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? And that's what we have in the video, an amazing video. Listen, I've gotten letters from a Catholic priest around the world, from Belgium, from France. And yes, here in the United States, I got several letters now from a man, a Catholic priest, who has been chosen as the new Pope. They've dethroned Pope John Paul II, this small little group of Catholic priests. They say he's a fake and an imposter, a counterfeit. And they've got their own Pope going for them, Pope Pius. And I've heard from him, and I suppose he likes my video because he's strongly pro-Catholic. So the old-line traditional Catholics say, Tex Mars, you're doing a good job exposing Pope John Paul II. Very interesting. Even though, believe me, I am by no means Catholic. I believe strongly in the Reformation begun by Martin Luther, and I think we ought to carry it one step further. What Martin Luther began, I believe strongly we ought to go simply by the Word of God, the King James Bible. That's all you need. You say, well, what about church? Of course I believe in church. The Bible says, Jesus said himself, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst thereof. I believe Jesus Christ when he said that. He also said that when you have sinned, you can come before him. 1 John, it says that he is faithful and good, and he will forgive us of our sin. Get on your knees and ask Jesus our Lord to forgive you. If you want to go to a priest, you're wasting your time. But go to Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says there is one intercessor between man and God, and that's Christ Jesus. That's what it says. The Bible also says, call no man father except your Father in heaven. He's the only one you call father. I don't call Catholic priest father. And I just simply call him priest or mister. Because the Bible says, don't do it. I'm not trying to show disrespect. I don't want anybody to call me Father Tex. So I'm not going to call anyone else Father anything except my Father in heaven. Now let's return to our regular program, and we're looking at the Catholic Empire of the Queers, an expose of pedophile, homosexual priests and lesbian nuns. Telling you about the Reverend Donald Cousins. He's a priest, and he is a pretty influential fellow. He is the president and rector of St. Mary Seminary. And he's written a book for a Catholic press called the Liturgical Press, called The Changing Face of the Priesthood, meaning the Catholic priesthood. Now, Mr. or Reverend Donald Cousins, Cozzens, by the way, that's how you spell that, says that Vatican Council II, under Pope John the 23rd, opened new doors to homosexuality among the Catholic priests, evidently, and a confident masculine priesthood went out the window. And it really exploded. There was an explosion of a sex abuse scandal inside the priesthood, especially in the 1980s. Now, priest Mr. Donald Cousins, the president of the St. Mary Seminary, he would know, would he not? He's in charge of a Catholic seminary. But he says that increasingly, homosexuals are becoming priests. And finally now, a majority are homosexuals. Imagine if you are the president of a Catholic seminary and you notice that a majority of the young men coming into the priesthood, coming into your seminary, are queers. What would be going through your mind? Is this the end of the Catholic Church as we know it? He says that he's troubled by it. But more than that, he's troubled because the Catholic Church doesn't seem to make a big deal of it. In fact, they don't want him to tell anybody about this. But he did his book anyway. Pretty courageous of him. He says that there is no doubt. He gives estimates by experts of the large numbers of homosexuals in the priesthoods. He says, what does this mean to the integrity of the church? The church formally says we don't believe in homosexual priests. But most of them are homosexuals. Does this not put a lie to the supposed integrity of Catholic priest? A don't ask, don't tell policy? Is that not just saying you can lie and then go out and have sex with other men and other women, I suppose, if you're a nun? He says this is going to have a huge impact on the Catholic Church and the culture of America and the entire world. He said seminary, in fact, it's not only the new students coming in, but I'm going to quote him, quote, the faculties of Catholic seminaries. That's the faculties. Those are the teachers. Include a disproportionate number of homosexual persons. There are more professors and teachers of religion who are homosexual than those who are straight at Catholic seminaries. And the majority of new priests coming on board are queers, says Dr. Cousins. But that's not all. He notes that in America alone, some 20,000 priests over the last decade or so have sought permission to leave the priesthood. Why? They're heterosexual and they want to marry. They're tired of the celibate lifestyle. And I believe that most of them are tired of seeing that the priests around them are all queers. And they want to get out and get to a normal life. They can't take it anymore working with almost all queers or a majority of queers. And especially when they look up and they're bishops and monsignors, and yes, cardinals are themselves homosexuals. And they being trying, in some cases, to be good men, are no doubt being hit on, and people, these higher ups, are trying to seduce them and bring them into homosexuality. And they're sick and they're fed up about it. And some 20,000 have sought permission to leave the priesthood and get married. And you know what, my friends? The more heterosexuals that are driven out of the priesthood, guess what? The greater disproportionate number are homosexual. I'm sure that they would love to just get rid of all the straight priests. Then they would have plenty of sex partners amongst themselves. By the way, according to the Ecclesiastes Communicator of June of 2000, Volume 6, it says that this book by Dr. Donald B. Cousins, called The Changing Face of the Priesthood, that I'm telling you about right now, it is a bestseller among priests. Priests are buying this book like crazy. Most of the homosexuals want to read about themselves. Priests are talking about it, says a priest and Reverend Frank McNulty of Newark, New Jersey. Some critics are saying, why is he jumping on this stuff? But I think it's good for priests to read a book that is honest. Interesting. Sandra Schneiders of the Jesuit School of Theology in Berkeley, California said, this is not some great revelation that nobody knows about. What Dr. Cousins is saying is what everyone in the priesthood knows, but some people don't want to have said. Some people don't want this to be said, says Snyders. But she said that the book is, quote, the best thing that's been written on the current state of the Catholic priesthood in recent times. And Dean Hoge, a sociologist at Catholic University of America, said, quote, this is the most important book on Catholic priests we've seen in years. Incredible. Incredible. The priesthood, says Cousins, I'm going to quote him, the priesthood is becoming a gay profession. Incredible. Nothing of what he said is untrue, says Reverend William Murphy, spiritual director at a St. John Seminary in Boston, Massachusetts. This is a strong book, says Priest Murphy, that should be read by all who love the priesthood. Interesting. Cardinal Bernard Law had no comment on the book. And maybe the reason why is Cardinal Bernard Law has been accused of being a pedophile homosexual. The reports we're getting of pedophile and homosexual behavior and misconduct, particularly molestation of children, is incredible. Let me give you some example. In the Believers and Overcomers Church report, out of Queen Creek, Arizona, January 11th, all the way back to 1993. It says this, a retired Catholic priest in Denver is accused of sexually molesting children across the U.S. for over 30 years. David Holly, age 65, is subject of a New Mexico lawsuit. He was known to be a child abuser by the Catholic Church, but was transferred from parish to parish across several dioceses. Diocese, said the Denver Rocky Mountain Times. The Worcester, Massachusetts diocese actually sent priest Holly for pedophilia treatment in 1971, but he was released several times from the center and sent back to a diocese where he then molested other boys. Two alleged victims have filed a suit. Then there's Richard Chirpinski. A warrant was out for him during this time from two states. A former Roman Catholic boys choir director wanted in Louisiana for lewd and lascivious behavior and indecent assault against minors under the age of 16. He told police detectives, quote, I have had oral and manual sex with members of my Catholic choir several times a week for more than a year. He's been charged with 99 counts of molestation. Then at St. Lawrence Seminary, it says eight former prep school students say Catholic priests sexually abused them. This is in Milwaukee, in the Milwaukee Journal. At least six priests who taught at the 136-year-old Catholic school located in Mount Calvary, Wisconsin, were involved in these abusive sexual acts. Most of the former students had told church authorities when nothing was done, they filed complaints with the police. Now, this is fun. Here's another one from Christian News, February 26, 2001, page 19. Half of priests and seminarians are homosexuals, reads the headline. Unbelievable. Half of priests and are homosexuals. Here's from the Christian News, also February 19, 2001. It said, Boston's cardinal law named in pedophile suit. Cardinal Bernard Law of Boston has been named a defendant in multiple lawsuits alleging he knew about a now defrocked priest pedophilia, but nevertheless allowed him to continue in ministry. Claiming he was molested in 1986, Patrick McSorley of Boston has a series of civil suits pending against former priest John Geoghegan and five supervisory bishops. And this month, a Boston judge allowed the addition of Cardinal Law's name as a defendant in the suits. Geoghegan has now admitted this priest, Geoghegan, has admitted homosexual contact with minor children. Here's another one from the National Catholic Reporter, one of their own publications. All the way back now, my friends, to February 27th, 1987. You can see this has been building. Headline reads, homosexuality and priesthood said to run high. There is an awareness, says the newspaper, that some priests are committing themselves to homosexual relationships, non-celibate relationships. Of more recent and urgent concern is the increasing numbers of priests, says the National Catholic Reporter, who have a homosexual orientation. Then, here's from the Atlantic Monthly magazine. Back in February 1987, page 48, the headline reads, Bisexuals, Is He or Isn't He? Health officials who deal with sexually transmitted diseases have long been aware of the frequency of homosexuality among Catholic priests. In the words of one such health official, quote, I and most of the public health directors I've talked to about this subject estimate that in our communities, at least a third of the Catholic priests under 45 are homosexuals, and most are sexually active. Friends, that was back in February 87. Now authorities are saying that a majority of Catholic priests are homosexuals. By the way, this article goes on to talk about Catholic priests being found diagnosed with syphilis and other diseases as well. And it says more and more priests this is a quote, more and more priests are dying of AIDS. There are AIDS casualties across America, especially in New York and San Francisco. Then we read in Time magazine, May 9th, 1994. It says, faced with lawsuits and struggling to treat clerics accused of sexual abuse, the Catholic Church lags behind in forging a policy on priest pedophilia. Notes that the founder of the of another boys choir, Santa Barbara, California boys choir, a priest named Reverend Robert Handel, was arrested in March on charges of molesting a seminary student. Over a period of 14 years, says Time magazine, another Catholic priest, Father John Hanlon of St. Mary's Church in Plymouth, Massachusetts, would occasionally take boys under his charge to a nude beach. It was the parish priest's way to desensitize them to their own nakedness. But then the priest went on to do more, the Time magazine article says. He sexually abused 10 of them, ranging in age from 12 to 15. Shame and silence went on for 11 years as the priest continued to molest these boys. It goes on and on and on, my friends. Each of the 188 dioceses in the U.S. is affected with pedophilia, according to this article. And the church is paying out money and money and money. Estimates are now range, it says, from $60 million to an astronomical $500 million that has been paid out so far by Catholic dioceses to victims of priest molestation. I could go on with these articles over and over again. And by the way, this priest, Father John Hanlon, in a Plymouth Superior Court, was sentenced to 3 concurrent life terms. He'll be eligible for parole in 15 years. Well, the article says there is no longer a dispute that sexual abuse among by priest is widespread. Then from the Washington Post, July 11th, 1998, church settles pedophile lawsuit. Dallas Diocese will pay 23.4 million, over 23 million to former altar boys. It says from Dallas, Texas, the Roman Catholic Diocese of Dallas agreed yesterday to pay out 23.4 million to settle a civil lawsuit accusing the church of trying to cover up a pre-sexual abuse of at least a dozen altar boys in the early 1980s. The priest's name, Rudolph Coase. Then from the Associated Press, reporting out of Portland, Oregon, and also Christian News, October 16, 2000, page 11, it says, Roman Catholic Church to pay more millions for clergy sex abuse. Now, I don't even have to read that to you. You can imagine what it says. Then we get from the Associated Press, Kansas City, Missouri. And by the way, this was in the Shamokin, Pennsylvania, Weekender edition of the News Item newspaper, page D5. So you'll know that it's a factual thing. It says, the article reads, AIDS deaths among priests higher. It says, the Kansas City Star newspaper reports that the death rates from AIDS among U.S. Roman Catholic priests is higher than it earlier estimated in a January series. The newspaper reported that hundreds of priests had died since 1983. The follow-up now puts the total at more than 300 in the United States. But since records are sealed in some states, experts say the exact AIDS toll among Catholic priests will never be known. And then we have in the book, The Franklin Cover-Up. By the way, we offer this book for your love gift of $20 to the ministry. The Franklin Cover-Up. I wish I'm going to have to take another program because I need more time to tell you about this. Proof positive here by the author John D. Kemp that they were actually taking little boys. They were working, evidently, these priests and so-called brothers at the Boys Town Orphanage in Nebraska. And they were working with these outside pedophiles. And they were letting them come on campus and take their little boys and do things to them. And then take them. And they were even taking some of them and putting them in jet planes and taking them to Washington, D.C., where they were offered as sexual gifts for congressmen and their aides. Friends, this is a scandal of scandals. Now, I want you to understand something. You say, what proof of this is there of such a thing? It is so unbelievable. Surely it is not true. Well, I'm going to give you the proof of that right now. Here's what John DeCamp, he's an attorney out of Omaha, Nebraska, the author of the book The Franklin Cover-Up, which is subtitled Child Abuse, Satanism, and Murder in Nebraska. He says, in May 1992, shortly after the first edition of this book was published, Monsignor Robert Hupp, who had been the head of Boys Town Orphanage from the late 1970s through the decade of the 1980s, the critical time in question for the Franklin case, contacted me and asked to have a meeting at which he specified that witnesses must be present. I anticipated, writes Mr. DeCamp, that his purpose was to attack me and to deny what I had written about Boys Town. I was completely wrong, says Mr. DeCamp. With two witnesses present, Monsignor Hupp, now remember, he was the head of Boys Town Orphanage. Monsignor Hupp, with two witnesses present, opened our discussion with the simple statement, quote, John DeCamp, your book stated the game. I hope I can help with some of the names. And my friends, he goes on to say in this book that Monsignor Hupp, the former head at Boys Town, a priest himself, verified, quote, verified peace after piece of evidence of the Franklin cover-up story for me. When I asked Monsignor Hupp how this could have ever happened at Boys Town, he looked at me and told me so apologetically, quote, I am like the wife who did not know and was the last to find out. And when I finally did suspect something and tried to act, the archbishop who supervised me, Daniel Shahan, elected to do nothing about it when I asked him to help. And then when I came upon something horribly evil, I found public officials and the church, the Catholic Church, would do nothing. Apparently, they were frightened of the damage this would do to the Catholic Church and the entire city of Omaha if this story came out that it is true. And then he goes on to talk about a young boy named Shattuck who had been sexually abused and then murdered. Murdered. Now, I can tell you more about that. I wish I had time to tell you about the book The Broken Cross by Piers Compton, subtitled A Hidden Hand in the Vatican. Mr. Compton says the problem is that Satan has entered the Vatican. Satan has entered the Vatican itself. Now, friends, I did a whole tape about Satanism inside the Vatican, and this is confirmed. But wait till you read what Piers Compton has to say about the horrible sexual atrocities in Europe. Yes, in the continent of Europe, in the Catholic Church. I wish I had time to tell you about the story in USA Today. Back in December 8, 1993, page 17A. Misconduct by clergy is no surprise, says former nun. Then I have the book in front of me, Lesbian Nuns Breaking Silence. It's edited by two former nuns, Rosemary Curb, C-U-R-B, and Nancy Manahan. Published by NIAID Press, N-A-I-A-D Press. Lesbian Nuns Breaking Silence. My friends, you're a Catholic, get out of Mystery Babylon as fast as you can and run. Your church has become homosexualized. These are the last days of the Catholic Church. Run while you can. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Remember always, my friend, Jesus is still on the throne. He's going to come someday. He's going to set this right. And if you're a Catholic priest doing these things, you better repent. Judgment is coming. This is Tex Mars. Tune in each week during the same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.